Pray for the preacher to preach a fiery sermon, I guess, because it's more of a report. But yet, there are lessons to be learned there, and I think we're going to be able to, if we have the right attitude, see what God wants for us through the history that we can learn from these places. Speaking of history, Genesis 12. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." Lord, may we be able to tap into this blessing of your great love. Through Jesus, amen.
It all began here in this church. More than 25 years ago when I saw a slideshow right on that screen, I think it was, and I don't remember who it was who shared, so if you forget who we are, that's okay. But what I remember is, wow, a regular person could actually go to the Holy Lands? And that's when we started thinking and praying and dreaming and saving, and all these years later, after the pandemic, after everything, we finally made it, and many of you prayed for us as we were heading out of here. Maybe the most dangerous part of the trip was the very first part of the trip, but this is our story. So we began here. You know there's not going to be anything more beautiful than Haines, Alaska, anywhere, but when we headed up the road, we ended up going to more than three countries. Accidentally, we ended up in nine, and that was fine. But there were some hiccups. We sang that morning. You remember the bell choir was playing, and the brass was loud. And then we all rushed home to finish packing. I'd been packed for about 2 months. But the boys changed out of their church clothes, and we headed out. Dropped off our little dog, Nala, with Leslie and Matt. And then somehow Luke ended up in the driver's seat. We were driving on a road that we did not know that after we passed the border would close behind us. And we were so thankful we made it through that border. And then it just got colder and colder. They hadn't told us it might drop down to quite that cold. I'll let Matt tell.
So as we were driving along, all the lights on the dash turned on, which told me the electrical system was really bad, so we better not stop. And thankfully, the rest of the family was watching a movie in the back. And we had to turn the fan down real low because, you know, it was bad. And so Luke was driving, and the frost just descended on us, and we were trying to keep going. And the next day we got to the airport, and everyone was happy, and it seemed like everything was fine. And we waited a couple hours, and they said, "Oh, the flight's been canceled." And so we were like, "Oh, really?" And so Holly went down to get the tickets, and sadly, when I got down there, I realized that,
Matt told me I should have run. But I'm not the fastest in our family. Someone else should run, right? Anyway, I was into the back of the line, and when we made it to the front, the poor woman just shook her head. Six people trying to get to Cairo, and it's almost Christmas. You're going to have two more days in Whitehorse. And I'm thinking, really? Okay. But Matt suggested we could go somewhere else, maybe, as we are trying to get to Cairo. And she said, "Oh, yeah, sure. Like, London?" So we said, "Sure. How about we stop in London?" And we did. We ended up in London on Christmas Eve. And I woke up there on my birthday, Christmas morning. And we didn't anticipate those adventures. Then we ended up in Cairo. And I'll let Mark tell a little bit about Egypt.
Yeah, so we got to see several different cool pyramids. Saqqara, the oldest pyramid or something like that. And then we went here, we're in front of the Great Pyramids of Giza. And Luke and JC and I all got to go up inside the biggest one, which was really fun. And we had a guide telling us all about the history of them. And we got to climb all the way up into the top of the biggest one. We rode some camels, as you can see, too. And it was really, really warm and hot up in the top of the inside of the pyramid. But it was fun. And the camels were fun to ride, too.
I would never have been brave enough to try to ride the camel. But Mona, our guide, said, I can probably get you rides for only $10 each. I was like, okay, I guess we'll go for it. And I'm glad.
The Christmas camel there. Yep, there's a Christmas camel. And here we are. We're just about to finish up our ride on the camels. And there's the pyramids of Giza. And here's where people are loading up on camels. This is kind of how it works here. There's our guide.
His name was Gouda. I don't even ride horses.
He's just getting down on his knees. Okay. When the camel gets down on its knees, then lean back. This is...
His English was very good. We didn't need...
He's going to take us over by these other ones, I think. Maybe right about here, I would imagine. Wow. Super fun. Yeah. I'm going to get down on our knees. Yep. Oh, hold there? Okay, I was leaning back the other way. Oh, wow. And then get off this way? Yes, I'll give you a tip there. Oh. I'm just going to get this footage here. All right, let's see how JC does here. That's quite a deal. There's JC getting down. And then gonna be Mark's turn. Looks like they help each other put the camels down. And then it's gonna spread its hind feet back really far. Oh, it just sat down. Mark kind of got stuck underneath Luke's camel. And then here comes Luke. Oh, he's holding on pretty good. And that one laid down too. These are pretty well-trained camels. And here goes Meg. Meg's doing pretty well. Good job.
So while Mona was showing us all these places, she said that it is true, Joseph the dreamer stored the grain that he was saving up for the famine in some of the empty pyramids. You can see the boys were brave enough to go inside the empty pyramids, and we were having our own problems outside the pyramid, but everything worked out fine. I'm not allowed to tell that story, but maybe I'll tell it when Meg's not here. But we watched the camels all go home at the end of their workday, and the whole pyramid area cleared out, and we headed back to our hotel, and then the next morning, we were heading towards Israel. And I'll let Matt tell the most surprising thing about Israel.
Oh, I didn't know that was going to be the question. Well, Holly had us write down our prayers in a book and take journal notes. Each person took turns. My prayer was that we would never go on a trip like this again. Because I knew how long we had saved money, and I knew how much it cost, and I was against it. But I guess the most surprising thing was, it was just wonderful to be with the family there. You know, my family never got to go there, and my folks never really dreamed of going there. And I was always told that when Jesus came, we didn't have to make a pilgrimage back to Israel. But when we got on the bus and Boaz held up his Bible, he said, "This will be our guide on your pilgrimage." And I thought, oh, we're on a pilgrimage. And so it was much more fulfilling and great to be with the family there.
We were surprised when Boaz met us and said, "I am a secular Jew, which is why I can be with you." And I said, "Oh, because we're Gentiles? He said, no, because it's Saturday. Oh, yeah, of course. And Boaz made a point of telling us that the driver, Ali, who was a Muslim, was a good friend, and they hang out even after work, and that when Ali's wife has problems with him, she calls Boaz. And I could tell they really were good friends. So it was wonderful to see an Arab, Muslim, Israeli who was good friends with an Israeli Jew. And I think maybe there is hope for the future. We get a lot of bad news, but maybe there's some good news that doesn't make it all the way here to America. So we did a lot of singing when we'd find an empty church, and when we were up on Mount Carmel where Elijah prayed for the fire to come from heaven, we sang Dona Nobis Pacem, and that's when Boaz said, oh, this is going to be a fun trip. And we did have fun with him, and they fed us very well. The hotel provided breakfast and dinner, and I couldn't believe all the good food. And when we woke up looking out over the Sea of Galilee, I'm like, really? Is this a dream? But we went out on the boat, and I'll let Mark tell.
Yeah, so we got to take a boat out onto the Sea of Galilee, which was really amazing. And before, earlier that morning and the day before, we were reading scriptures of things in the Bible that happened on the Sea of Galilee, which there are actually a lot of them, as you probably know. And so it was cool to be in that place and see just the sea and the places around it where the disciples had been and Jesus. And it was really peaceful. We went out there on this boat with just our family, and yeah, we got to sing a little bit and just enjoy the beautiful space.
Boaz was good about showing us the places on the map, and when he took us to the different ruins, he did read scripture at each one and suggested practical life applications that we might want to consider. And I told him, if the tour guide thing doesn't work out, he might want to consider being a preacher. But he just laughed. I call this the Star Trek Church. I should let Matt tell about it.
They built this church over Peter's mother-in-law's house, where they think the guy was lowered down through the roof. It looks like an alien structure for sure, because it's only supported around the outside, and it's all suspended there. And it was fun to look down in there. And, of course, we wanted to sing there, but they said we couldn't make any noise there. And so that was lousy. But as we went around the Sea of Galilee, we went to the place where Jesus gave the Beatitudes and where he fed the 4,000 and the 5,000, where he called Peter and James and a bunch of other places. I guess most of the ministry was, the bulk of it was right there around the Sea of Galilee. I was surprised we didn't get to go to Nazareth or Bethlehem, but Boaz wasn't allowed to go to those places.
It was very modern, and there was a clear sign, like where you would turn off the freeway to go into a place like Bethlehem. No Israeli Jews were allowed in there. So he took us to the Golden Heights, which is supposed to be dangerous, but it didn't seem dangerous to us. And this is the gates of hell, where they're pretty much positive. Jesus stood with his disciples and asked, who do you say I am? So he told us some of the places they're sure it happened there, and other places it was near, and other places it was kind of a guess about exactly where it happened. But climbing up Mount Arbel, we could look down on Israel, and we did see a goat. And coming down to the beach where Jesus was making a fire after his death and resurrection, and Peter recognized him and jumped off the boat and swam to shore, there were little shells in the sand. And this is what you might see if you were on our bus. There were Orthodox Jews walking through the streets, and city lights, and people obeying traffic laws, which was different than Egypt, and our hotel. So I'll tell about the end.
Back in Egypt, I asked, why aren't they using these lines? He says, oh, they just added those a couple years ago.
So the soldiers were also a presence. We felt very safe the whole time, but you can tell how JC got this.
Oh, JC thought it was real cool when some guys his age walked into the hotel with all these guns. And so he was real careful to take some pictures secretly with the guns. And there were some guys about my age that seemed to be the officers. And they were, if you looked, they were in a lot of the places.
Yeah, I did feel safe, though. and then we went to the Jordan River. And Meg was baptized, and I rededicated my baptismal vows. And Matt was the one who did the baptizing. We sang as I go down to the river to pray. And once everybody was happy and dry, we headed to Jerusalem.
As you can see, this is Jerusalem, and it was pretty epic. As we came out of this tunnel on our road trip, we'd been driving in a van for, I think, an hour or two, and then we came across this high place in the road, and we could just look out on this whole city of Jerusalem, and it was just amazing to see in a different way than looking out on our mountains, but yeah, really cool. And then we got to go to a lot of cool places, like we went to Garden of Gethsemane, and then the place where Jesus rode on the donkey before he got crucified. And I think one of the most impactful places for me was the Garden of Gethsemane, because we got to go there as a family with just us and our guide, and he gave us a scripture reading and a talk on it, and then we got to just be in the garden and walk around and pray and just imagine what it was like for Jesus when he was there so long ago.
And he did give us some warnings about being in Jerusalem, especially since we arrived as it was getting dark.
Well, he said not to go to the old city. And if you do go to the old city, definitely don't go by yourself. And if you do go to the old city and you're by yourself, definitely don't use your credit card. And so, of course, we headed off looking for the old city. And I didn't tell Holly where we were going, because that's not something you should do all the time. And we walked along this big wall for seems like 2 or 3 hours until we got lost, and then we tried to find our way on the phone, and the phone sent us in the wrong way, and we wound up even further away. And then the next day, we found out that big wall we were walking along the whole time is the border for the old city, and so we were just walking along the wall the whole time.
Yeah. And we did some singing in a courtyard of a cathedral, and nobody seemed to mind, so play. It was Christmas time.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Just like a regular city, but with all this history. And the next day, Boaz took us in the daylight to the old city. And we got to visit, just outside it, the Garden Tomb, which was a beautiful, peaceful place that I would like to think is really the way it was when Jesus' body was laid to rest. But the history seems to indicate that it probably wasn't the Garden Tomb where he was buried. It was probably the place right after this little gift shop that is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and it is very fancy. Matt, you want to tell about how fancy?
Well, it's built over a number of sites, and so it doesn't look like a church from the outside. And there's, six different religions that have some Christian religions are in charge of the church. And as we went up to it, this tractor came out. And that was kind of jarring, and there were all sorts of people speaking a huge variety of languages, and there were lines everywhere, and people telling other people to go places, and it was just kind of mayhem in there, we thought. And so we preferred the other quiet place where we did get to have some of the Lord's Supper. And you can't see it in this photo, but whereas the churches do get along, they also don't get along. For instance, they had to fix a window about 100 years ago, and someone put up a ladder there, and that ladder is still there because they haven't figured out who has the authority to remove the ladder.
True, and getting to finally go to the place, very ornate, where Jesus' body was probably laid to rest, right there on that rock. It was a lot of crowded lines, and Boaz, our guide, said, don't let them get in front of you. And there was a Greek Orthodox priest who was like, your turn, you're done, out, no cell phones. And I was like, wow, what if we had to wait in line to see Jesus on a throne? I am so glad we can pray any time of the day or night, and we don't have to wait in line.
Amen.
Amen. We had our picture taken in front of a beautiful synagogue, and Boaz told us the story that someone had given money to build the new synagogue after the old one had been destroyed, but that the prime minister had thought, there are already plenty of synagogues. We need a new soccer field. So he built a new soccer field with the donation, and then later got more money and ended up building the synagogue. You want to tell about when we came around that corner?
Yeah, so then we came here to the Wailing Wall, and all of the black right in front of the wall, it's people dressed up in black, Orthodox Jews mostly. And so we got to go up to the wall. On the left, there's like a divide in the middle. On the left is the men, and the right is the women. And because they didn't want the men to get distracted while they were at the wall, is what our guide told us. But we got to go up, and people put prayer requests on pieces of paper and then stick them in the wall, which is quite difficult because there's already like thousands of them in the wall, so you have to find a spot for it. But it was very, very interesting to see so many people like singing in Hebrew, and yeah, it was a very different place than we'd ever been.
I probably shouldn't have worn my bright pink dress with the flowers. I really stood out, but it was fine. Everyone was very nice. And on our last full day, Masada, Ein Gedi, and the Dead Sea.
So I didn't really want to go to Israel, but I really wanted to see Masada because it's quite a story, and it's in a very unlikely place. It kind of just rises right up out of the Dead Sea area, and it's real barren, and it's a terrible story if you've ever read about it. And Boaz knew all about it, and they take all the military people there at the end of their training. And so I suppose that was one of my favorite parts, was just going up there on that cable car. That was a real cool cable car.
We also, in that same area, saw Ein Gedi, where David was hiding out, and Boaz's message was, sometimes you want to seek revenge, but you shouldn't. And David didn't. He resisted that urge when he had the chance to kill King Saul, his enemy.
Oh, at Ein Gedi, that's just right in view of the Dead Sea there. So that fresh water and that whole oasis, it used to be more of an oasis, Boaz said, but they allowed a bottling company to come in and take 3/4 of the water from Ein Gedi. And so now it's a real small stream. He was disappointed.
Yeah. And then we got to go down to the Dead Sea.
It was pretty fun going into the Dead Sea. Super salty, obviously, so we had to make sure never to let our face go under the water. They said that could like be really bad for our eyes and everything. But it was fun, and we did get to float, and that was fun. And then we rubbed. They said it's really good for your skin if you rub this mud on it. So we did that. No, that was fun.
And there were no fireworks. Mark should tell why.
Well, they just have too many bombs and missiles that it would look like that if there were fireworks.
Yeah. So the next day, after we said goodbye to Jerusalem, we headed out to Jordan. And by the time we finally got through the border, and I noticed Saddam Hussein on the air freshener, and Matt asked the driver, Saddam Hussein? Because he didn't speak any English, but he said, ew! And the kids are saying, who is Saddam Hussein? I'm like, oh, we'll talk about it later. But I was questioning, should we have included Jordan on our trip? But our guide was wonderful, Fadi, and he took us to where Moses looked out at the promised land and never got to enter. We got to go up to Petra and see the monastery.
And one of my favorite parts of entering Jordan is we were all sitting in this waiting area, and almost no one spoke English. And there was a woman sitting right next to Mark, and he got out his trumpet, and she gave him an evil look. But then he was playing so quietly, she couldn't even really believe it. So that was kind of fun.
And when we got to the desert that Moses brought the people through, the kids decided to play in the sand. And the sand felt really good to our feet. No, it wasn't, because it was winter. No. And we didn't have much time. We had to head out And when Fadi said there was a special surprise, I was hoping for one last sunny beach because I knew what we were coming home to. We had heard the reports of Snowmageddon here, but it was another set of ruins, which were very special. And then we got all the way back to Tel Aviv and had one night on the Mediterranean Sea. Mark, do you want to tell what had been most surprising for you about our trip?
Well, I think I was surprised by how awesome our guide was in Israel. Boaz was just really good at knowing everything about the history of the places and the connections to the Bible and helping us read that and really be able to connect with the places. And that's one thing that now when I read these stories in the New Testament and the Old Testament, I can picture these places and just feel more connected to them. I think the one thing that happened that was the most surprising to me was on December 31st, New Year's Eve, we were in this hotel that was in Israel, right? Yeah. I think it was our last night in Israel, in Jerusalem, and I was in a room on one of the higher levels of the hotel, and I looked down, and down in the courtyard, there was maybe 50 or more people just in this dance party, and I was like, whoa, what's going on there? And so I sent Meg to go down and check it out. Well, actually, I think Meg volunteered. She was like, I'm going to go see what's going on. So she went, and she said it's a headset party. They're all wearing these headsets. But I was like, what did the music sound like? And she was like, I don't know. I was like, why didn't you put one on? But they were, yeah, so then I went down there, and I put on one of the headsets that someone like volunteered and just gave me. And so then it was just this dance party, but they didn't have any music that you could hear unless you were wearing the headsets. So they were all just dancing. So then I just joined in, which was, I think, very surprising to even me. But it was fun.
So fun. So we headed back home, and I had prayed two things fervently, for safety and transformation. And I felt like both of those prayers were answered. Many of you were praying for us that we would get all the way back one piece, and we did. And there was a lot of snow to greet us. We found Nala again, but we are so thankful for all your prayers and for this wonderful trip. Thank you.
Right. I just thought I'd interject really quickly. This is off script, but thank you, Davis family. Let's have a prayer for the Davis family and for peace in Jerusalem and for God's will for our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for giving us a message through this incredible experience of this incredible family.